Welcome to today's edition of the International Mastermind Association's Think and Grow Rich. I'm your host, Thomasina Williams. Our focus is the classic book, Think and Go Rich, which Napoleon Hill wrote in 1937. More than 80 years later, this classic text remains a phenomenal resource for experienced and new entrepreneurs alike. On last week's show, we were blessed to hear from Angelique Frost, who is with us again today. Angelique Frost is the owner of Remarje. Also with us today is Robin Donaldson, who is the owner of Renew Construction Services, and our master builder, the founder of the International Mastermind Association, founder and president of MCO Construction, and constructively speaking, the one and only Ann McNeil. Hello, ladies. Thank you for joining us again today. We are going to go ahead and jump right into it. Last week's show, we also talked about the issue of faith, as we're going to be doing today. And we would encourage any of our listening audience who would like to join the conversation to please do so by dialing the number 1 on your phone. That raises your hand and lets us know that you'd like to join into the conversation, and we'll open your mic. As I said on last week's show, we talked about the subject of faith. Faith is chapter 2 in Think and Grow Rich. We're going to continue that conversation today because we had such a great one last week and really got some really valuable nuggets out of it. We want to start out by asking Angelique if she could share with us the powerful testimony she gave last week about why it is, Angelique, that you read the book over and over again. You talked about having read the book 3 times already. And can you share with our listening audience why you read the book over and over, and what is it that you've gotten out of each of the last 3 times that you've read it?
Sure, absolutely. I read the book over and over because I'm changing my kind of way of thinking, and that's something that has to be done over time. The first time I read the book, it opened my mind to what was really possible. So I immediately read it again. And the second time, I took off all the limitations of what I truly desire and what I'm passionate about and what I really want to do. And then the third time, I allowed myself to apply the 13 steps into my life and embed them within my desires. And those are pretty much how I began to, the book began to unfold itself to me.
I love that. The book began to unfold itself to you. Anne always talks about how she began to read the book and the book began to read her. And the unfolding is so powerful. It makes me think about a spiritual concept which says that we don't really need to discover our power. The power is always already there. We simply need to allow it to unfold and to reveal itself to us. That's beautiful. I love that, Angelique. Robin, I know that you have also read the book several times. Can you share as well with the listening audience, how many times have you read the book, first of all? What keeps you going back to read the book, and what have been some of the insights you've gained when you've read it subsequent times?
Well, every time I read, I call the reading of my book a cycle. So I have 11 entries. So I have read the book 11 times, and there's a couple of chapters like faith, organized planning, power of the mastermind, and, of course, persistence. Those are chapters that I have found myself going back more than usual, using them as a reference. And each time, I mean, the words are the exact same, but each time I read it, I'm different. And so for me, I'm just really building on what I learned from the previous cycle. And as well as I also journal. So every time I go through the chapter, I'm just making note of what I'm thinking at that time. And then to read back from the first and second time that I started reading this book, I was like, okay, I was thinking like that. So I can really see how I have advanced based on the rereading of the book and then, of course, being in a different frame of mind. And I think that from the very first time that I read it, pretty much like Angelique, it opened my mind because at the time before reading Think and Grow Rich, I was searching. I was searching. So when I started reading, it just captivated my interest. I'm like, okay, I might be on to something. So it opened my mind. And then the second time that I read the book, it convicted me. It cut me all up, you know. And then the third time, it was the rubber hit the road. It was time for me to act because, again, I was in search of how can I take myself from where I am and be the person that I know I could be. This book has been the roadmap. It basically lay, again, it convicted me. It gave me instructions. It gave me explicit instructions on what I needed to do. So when I put things in action and started moving my feet, everything started opening up. And then from the fourth time to the fifth time and to the sixth time, I'm thinking differently about the same thing that I read previously. And it's all because I'm in a different frame of mind, and I have opened my mind and my heart to receive what it is that these words are trying to convey to me. So I would, again, encourage, this is not a one-read book. This is a reference book for me. And if you saw all of the tabs in my book, because if I'm feeling a certain way, I know I can go to page 93, read that formula, that success, and I'm going to be okay. So my favorite saying, you all just don't even understand, but this book, I think, is number two to the Bible. Because, again, a lot of the principles found in this Think and Grow Rich, they are from the Bible.
You know, it's so interesting. I love your characterization of the book as a reference book, as something that you're compelled to go back to over and over again, as second to the Bible. And as you say, a lot of the principles in the book are based upon spiritual principles, obviously like faith, which is our chapter today. The principle of the mastermind, I think, is another one that's based upon faith. Scripture talks about where two or more are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of thee. So, again, there's a real foundational piece, I think, around the book being based upon principle, upon spiritual law, and it's simply a matter of using it as a reference book. I also love your characterization, Robin, about being convicted. That's a powerful word, being convicted, that it's not enough just to read the book. You've also got to do the work. As you say, when the rubber hits the road, being convicted, I love that. I love that. So on this question of the number of times you read the book, 11 different times, over what period of time has it taken you to read the book 11 times? Robin, are you still with us?
I was on mute. I'm sorry. It took me about 3 years. And to be perfectly honest, as I stated before, I was reading the book, and then like Miss Ann said, the book started reading me. It's like I asked for guidance. Guidance has been given. Now it's time for me to act. I just, you know what, Thomasina? I just really want to see how I am going to be on cycle 23. You know, where am I going to be? So with that, you know, like the book is talking about being anxious or, you know, like a child, and I get excited. I'm like that fat kid wanting that cake. I'm dancing before I even get the food. So it's like it really draws me to the book because, okay, I know by the time I get to that 13th principle, I'm going to be in a different space. I'm in a hurry to get there. So it just, this book really fills my soul because, again, it answers all the questions that I have, and it directs me right to the Bible. So
And your enthusiasm, your conviction clearly comes through in hearing you talk about the book. You mentioned the chapter on faith as one of those that you return to even more frequently than the 11 times that you've read the entire book cover to cover. Can you share what are some of the more powerful sections of chapter 2 that keep you coming back to that section over and over and over again, even more than some of the other parts that you've already read 11 times?
It would be the self-confidence formula, because I feel that that was something that I struggled with. And even now, I feel that I struggle with self-confidence. So for me, that is it. And then for Miss Ann to give us a challenge, and then I don't have it quite memorized, but just from reading it over the first and second time, I could be honest with you, Thomas, because I knew I had to make some adjustments. So it would definitely be the self-confidence formula. And
can you stop right there for a moment before you go into the next thing, Robert, and just share with our listening audience, what is the self-confidence formula for those who may not be familiar with that part of the book?
Okay, the self-confidence formula is, it's really what I'm talking to myself. There goes that's the auto-suggestion. I am planting those things in myself. Like the first one, it says, I know that I have the ability to achieve the object of my definite purpose in life. I demand of myself persistence, continuous action for its attainment. And I here and now promote to render such actions. Sometimes I have to talk to myself. Because, as many times I have read the book and as much success that I've had, I still have doubts. I still question myself. Even though, again, I've had success and I've seen the changes in my life, it's just having to go back and remind myself that I have the ability. And then again, reading the confidence formula, it's like that first cup of coffee in the morning that gets you going. So again, when I mentioned that this book is a reference, when I'm feeling down and low or not even sure of myself, or even if I've been faced with some sort of rejection, I take it back to the self-confidence formula because I know that I have the ability to do all things. And if somebody has a difference of opinion, that they have the problem. So, again, I talk to the book and the book talks to me. And let's see, the second thing probably with the chapter is because reading the chapter, it gives me hope. I mean, honestly, this chapter makes me excited. It gets me prepared for whatever is to come. So those would be the two reasons why I feel that I have to continuously read faith. Because, again, as much success that I've had, I know that the devil is angry, so therefore he's going to throw every monkey wrench that he possibly can. So therefore I have to, as the Bible says, put on that complete suit of armor, and all of that is based on the faith that I have because I have tried it. I've tried this book. And even though when I pray, Thomas, and I say, God, okay, you told me you're going to do this, this, and this, I'm going to follow it to the letter. Let me see what you're talking about. And then when things happen as they are supposed to happen, that just energizes my faith to a next level. So now I'm willing to take the next chance. I'm willing to risk because I know at the end of the day that I can do all things. So I love this chapter. I think I've been back to this chapter probably about 16 times, 5 more times out of the 11, because, again, I have to equip myself. I have to literally talk myself out of things and back to the right things. It's the second
principle, the second chapter, because you're going to need it on this journey. You're going to definitely need it, so that is why I continue to fortify myself by the reread of this chapter.
Another powerful word, fortify. The book is all about training our minds, our consciousness, and the confidence formula is one way to do that, because the book says that, quote, our greatest weakness is lack of self-confidence, not ability. We're going to go to a commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion of Chapter 2 on Faith of Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich.
You are listening to the Blog Talk Radio program of the International Mastermind Association. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web by visiting blogtalkradio.com/masterminders, or join us live during the show by calling 661-554-9219. The call-in number again, 661-554-9219. If you wish to join the conversation during the live show, just press 1 on your telephone keypad. You can also join us in the chat room or log on through your Facebook account.
We are back live with the International Mastermind Association's edition of Think and Grow Rich. Today we're talking about, actually, part 2 of our conversation about the chapter on faith, which is the second chapter in the book. We began by walking through chapter 1. We're now on chapter 2. And throughout the course of the year, we're going to be going through the entire book, chapter by chapter. So we encourage you to join us. We are here every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and may even have a few special editions in there for you, like a Friday evening. We've been talking with Angelique Frost, the owner of Remarje, and Robin Donaldson, the owner of Renew Construction Services, about the importance of not simply reading the book, but actually studying the book. And studying the book by reading it over and over and over again. And as Robin referred to it, using it as a reference book, as a tool that we go back to over and over again. And our master builder, Ann McNeil, who I think is probably responsible for all three of us who are on the call, three of us in addition to her, for all three of us who are on the show today, really drilling down into the nuggets that are a part of Think and Grow Rich. And can you share with our listening audience how long you have been studying the book Think and Grow Rich, and how many times you have read the book in the course of that study?
Ann McNeil. Yes. Thomasita. The master builder, helping to build stronger and better lives. 1979, 9 p.m., and some people listening to this can tell my story. I picked up the book for the first time, and as Robin mentioned earlier, as I decided to read the book began to read me, and that started the journey. And so from 1979 to 2018, and I know this show will live forever, so when people listen to it in 2090, you can do the math. But for me, I would say an average minimum twice a year. While coaching, I'm also continuing to read the book. So like Robin mentioned, I'm constantly in the book. So I would have to say at a minimum of probably 50 times. But this is what, to me, is very important about reading and not reading. I was sharing with a friend, Nefreda Thomas, earlier. Today we were talking about a lull. And I remember a five-year lull of not being in the book as much as I was previously, and could never really put my finger on what was wrong. Now, continued to read other books, lots of other books, books on prosperity, books on success, and books on biography, and books on health. But it wasn't until I came back to masterminding with the book, Think and Grow Rich, and then I got it. I really, really got it. You see, there are many people that mastermind, but they're not using a system, proven system, of a success philosophy. And everybody that's been on the call has talked about how every time you read it, something new happens in each of us. The words on the pages have not changed, but we've changed, and we become more and more conscious, if you will. So I would say for me, in the 40 years, a minimum of 50 times.
Wow. That is amazing. I hope our audience is taking this in. And what's so beautiful about your story, Anne, is you would have what I would call perhaps a controlled experiment. You know what has happened in your life, in your business, when you are not only reading but studying the book and applying the principles. And you also know what happens when you don't. And so therein lies, as they used to say, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the telling. You can actually see the difference in your life. Now, that is a powerful, powerful testimony to what can happen when you read the book and apply the principles. Now, someone who's read the book, Anne, as many as 50 times, share with our listening audience what has been the most powerful learning, or what was the insight that you got from reading this chapter on faith the last time that you read it that hadn't occurred to you before?
The application of the faith, the application of the faith walk, and the reality of understanding that when we hear the book talk about any thought, any desire that you persistently hold in your mind will manifest itself by faith. That is what, for me, has been this time around. I marked something. You know, some of us read and we join each other every Friday morning at 7 a.m. on a call, and this is what I read this week that was my aha moment, and I read it out of the book on a chapter on faith. It says, a mind dominated by positive emotions or positive mental attitude becomes a favorable abode for the state of mind known as faith. A mind so dominated may at will give the subconscious mind instructions which it will accept and act upon immediately. And this summarizes the answer to your question. Right now at this point in my faith walk, I am experiencing what I call a gratitude experience. And I'm starting a journal. Well, many years I've journaled what's called a gratitude journal, whereby I am thankful and grateful for the desires of my heart being achieved. Because oftentimes by faith, we pray for something, we ask God, I want this, we get it. I want that, we get it. I want this, we get it. I want him, we got it. I want this car, we got it. I want this thing, we got it. I want this house, we got it. But how often do we stop and say, thank you for giving me the desire of my heart, when oftentimes I don't even verbalize it? But when we begin to understand, and in preparation for this call we discussed this, when we begin to understand that the mind, when we dominate that mind with positive emotions and thoughts, that's a positive mental attitude, the mind becomes so favorable, it then begins to draw exactly what you desire, if we give it the instructions for what we want. Now, the application of that faith is that once it is drawn, we must act. And that's where the application comes into reality. So for me, I can go till tomorrow just sharing different things that are happening right now, this week, yesterday, today, of things that I've thought about and I moved toward, and exactly what I was thinking showed up. So it is a totally different experience when we talk about the ether, and we just begin to think about how the mind and the body reacts to what we feed it. So my question, as I turn this back over to you, is what are we each feeding that mind? Just like we feed our body, and our body responds to good food, bad food, junk food, unhealthy food. The mind is the exact same way. And so when we become money conscious, we become health conscious. And by faith, we continue to do it over and over, and we strengthen that.
That's powerful. That's a powerful question. What are we feeding ourselves on a daily basis? And one of the other things that this part of the book talks about, actually throughout the book, I think, but it makes a point here in the faith chapter that whatever we repeat to ourselves over and over again becomes our dominating thoughts, becomes our experience then translated in our lives. Whether those things that we're telling ourselves are positive and healthy, or frankly, whether they're negative, that the mind doesn't distinguish between what you tell it and whether it's, quote, good or, quote, bad. It just is. And I think this is the importance of the positive reinforcement. I also want to touch on something else that you mentioned about what are we feeding ourselves. And this is really interesting because both you and Robin talked about journaling. And can you talk about the power of journaling and maybe even other practices you've adopted for feeding yourself for that positive reinforcement, for developing the self-confidence that we were talking about before the break?
Absolutely. Well, I talked about one of the things that most of us do first thing in the morning when I ask the question, what is the first thing you do when I'm coaching and I'm speaking and I ask people, you know, what's the first thing you do in the morning when you wake up? And most people say, oh, I pick up my phone, oh, I pray, or I meditate. And I say, well, I would suggest you probably go to the bathroom first and relieve your body. And then my question is, well, where do you relieve your mind? How do you relieve your mind, okay, and your emotions? And I suggest one of my favorite books is entitled The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron, who was an artist. And she began a practice called, yes, Morning Pages. And I journaled before I read her book, but I always had a desire. Here we go again with chapter one. The desires of our heart. I had a desire to learn how to properly, quote unquote, properly journal. Her book showed up in my life 3 times in the span of 7 days. And on the last day, a friend of mine, Beatrice Lewis Saint, called me. She said, Ann, this has never happened to me before. She said, Ann, I'm at the bookstore. I know you love to read. I'm going to get you 2 books. What do you want? What would be the likelihood that that would happen? And she did not live that far from me. I said, Beatrice, The Artist's Way, when I got the book, the beginning of the book was like reading my own story. Now, so what I do is I do what I call a date with myself every morning for about an hour. Early, early in the morning. I'm not going to do like Robin tell the time, but it's very early. And by doing that, I am able to relieve my mind of everything that was on it that I need to release. And what that looks like is whatever's top of mind, it doesn't have to be a complete sentence. It doesn't have to be a complete thought. It's like you release your body in the morning when we go to the restroom. Well, I do the exact same thing and purge. Now, once I can relieve myself mentally and emotionally of all of these thoughts that I've brought over from the day before or the week before, the month before, the year before, on the page, Julia Cameron suggests 3 pages. And then over the years, I have found that my thoughts end up being categorized into thankfulness and gratefulness, opportunities, challenges, lessons learned, and observations. And so I train my mind every day, or I train my mind every day to think of at least 10 opportunities before I release myself to go to the next thing. And I will not get up until my mind gives me 10 opportunities. Now, take 10 opportunities times 7 days. I do this 7 days a week times 52 weeks. Times year after year. So I have an abundance of opportunities that I create. I don't expect anybody to give me anything. I demand of myself persistent, continuous action toward this attainment, and my mind delivers. And so all of the opportunities that I think of, then it becomes my actions for that day. See, what happens normally, Thomasine, and everybody who's listening, we attract that which we think about. Okay, so I'm in the construction business. I attract construction opportunities to me. How? I come up with an idea. I go to an owner. I go to a client, and I share the idea with them because the idea that I came up with is to benefit them, and I ask for nothing in return. And once I consider it like a bank deposit, I keep making deposits into people. I keep making deposits into people. And because I continue to make deposits into people, when I need to make a withdrawal, there's no question about me receiving whatever it is that I'm asking for because I have made so many deposits that people are willing to freely give whatever it is that I'm asking for. Now, let me show you the power of the subconscious mind, and I know we have a few minutes left, so if you don't mind if I share, do you mind?
Please, please. I think this is fascinating. I'm sure our audience would love to hear. There's so much in what you said. Please go right ahead.
Okay, now, let me read you this. This is why when Robin talked about I challenged people to memorize the self-confidence formula. As I was talking right in the moment, this is what came up for me. You see, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless it is built upon truth and justice. So therefore, I, Ann McNeil, will engage in no transaction, you see, that does not benefit all whom it affects. But I also understand, Thomasina, that I will succeed by attracting to me the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. Why? Because I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. And I also, Thomasina, will eliminate any hatred, any envy, any jealousy, any selfishness, and any kind of cynicism by developing love for all humanity. Because I know that a negative attitude toward others can never bring me success. Because I will cause others to believe in me, because I will believe in them and in myself. Now, when I was sharing with you a few minutes ago, verbatim, the self-confidence came up. And because I'm memorizing it, I can recite it verbatim. And it doesn't have to be from the beginning to the end. It can be a sentence, it can be a phrase, it can be a part. So it is so embedded in me that it becomes a part of me, and it becomes a light that shines in the innermost parts of my being to do exactly what I have programmed my mind to do. So that's what my day looked like. In terms of how I journal, and I do it every day, and I am now programmed to such an extent I have to invest a minimum of 2 hours a day because I've packed so much into the day. Exactly. But think about it. If you decide to exercise, if you decide to pray, you decide to read, you decide to write, I take a lot of vitamins every day. Oh, wait a minute. I still got to get dressed. I don't know if any woman is listening to this that can dress in less than an hour and be in that car unless I've tried it. I can't do it. And sometimes I think my husband is secretly timing me to see how many times I'm going to come back in the house for something I forgot. I forgot my keys. You know, I forgot the coffee on the counter. You know, oh, wait a minute now. I was going to take that folder. Where did I put it? So it takes me 2 hours after I wake up just on me. So the time I invest in myself. Now, I can do a show by myself, so I want to share this show with other people, but I am so excited about the journey that we are on and the way we share and the way we're growing exponentially as we mastermind together. every single week and doing this show. It is phenomenal, phenomenal.
Wow. Now, our listening audience now has just a teeny-weeny, itsy-bitsy taste of why Anne McNeil is known as the master builder, building masterminds and building better lives. Thank you so much for that, Anne. There is so much in what you said. I want to start out first by just letting our audience know that a lot of what you were quoting from is directly from the self-confidence formula that Robin told us about earlier. The part which says, I demand of myself, and the word demand is written in capital letters. I demand of myself persistent, continuous action, which you are obviously living by your explanation of your journaling and how you incorporate that into a practice in your life. Another part that you talked about also comes directly from the self-confidence formula in Chapter 2 on Faith from Napoleon Hill's Think and Grow Rich. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. I will induce others to serve me because of my willingness to serve others. I will eliminate hatred, envy, jealousy, selfishness, and cynicism by developing love for all humanity, because I know that a negative attitude towards others can never bring me success. I will cause others to believe in me because I will believe in them and in myself. That is such a powerful, powerful thing to remember. And it's so interesting, as you say, Anne, you have internalized the self-confidence formula, not just read it, not just memorized it, but it's obvious that you've actually internalized it. And that is the power, I think, of reading the book over and over again and actually studying the book. I also want to touch on what you talked about in terms of release and how it's important to, particularly I think in this day and age when everybody has multiple cell phones. Anne was laughing at me earlier because you called me, I answered one cell phone but put in the earphones for another cell phone, so it was sitting right next to it and couldn't understand why you couldn't hear me. There is so much coming at us with email, Facebook, text messages, Instagram, all the things that we have and as part of modern conveniences that just really, frankly, clutters our mind. And I love what you talked about in terms of needing to release mentally just like we release physically. And you have to release in order to make room for something new, which is why we can read the book over and over and come away with a different insight, because we are different by virtue of our own growth and evolution. Really powerful. Also, you talked about journaling. You and, as I said, both Robin mentioned that, which is another very, very powerful practice. And I just want to repeat for our listening audience, you said that there are four things, is it, Anne, that you journal about: thankfulness and gratitude, opportunities, challenges, and observations. Did I get that right?
Right, right. Correct. Correct. Well, first I just release. And then, so I have a section that I just start writing things I'm thankful and grateful for. But also what I realized after years of doing this, that I needed to go back and acknowledge the desires of my heart that had been fulfilled. I desired something. I asked for something. That's very different than just thinking. I had a desire. I wrote desires. See, I have. So I may desire this. I desire that. I desire this. But then do I go back? It reminds me of the leper that was cleansed. There was 10. But only one went back and said, thank you. So God visited me. I need to come back and say, thank you for giving me the desire of my heart and list it. Prayer by supplication. I'm letting my request be made known, but I'm also being thankful for that specific request. And then I began to write. I have a certain part of the page. I put opportunities. And I force my mind and I train my mind to give me 10 opportunities every day. Every single day. We come in contact with people and ideas. We read things, we hear things. And if we begin to say, okay, This whole book talks about a secret. I contend that the secret is the power of an idea. It's the ideas. Everybody had an idea. So now why is it that I'm short of money? I'm short of ideas. I'm not short of money. If I come up with an idea and I come up with 10 a day, if I got one a year, that works. If I work the idea, eventually I work it long enough and don't let it go, it's going to turn into pure gold. Sometimes it's trash, but sometimes it's pure gold if I am pure in my intention, right? So I do the thankfulness, I do the opportunities, I do my lessons learned, and I do my observations, and I close it out. There's no way I can do that in 5 or 10 or 15 minutes and journaling every morning, because that's the work that I must do inside of myself. This show that we're doing is an idea. While you were speaking, I thought about the fact, I said, you know what, Thomasina, think about this. You and I were at an NSA conference. I set a goal to do a podcast. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. Is that not what we're doing right now, right this moment?
Because starting a podcast definitely was not one of the goals I set from that. I was happy for you and yours.
And I didn't see that. I didn't see that. But check this out, Thomasina. I didn't recognize that and acknowledge that until we got into the rhythm of the show, and I went, oh, my God, this is what I said I wanted to do, 52 weeks of a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Sure did.
Is that
I
not...
was there. Yes.
You were there. This is the power that I'm talking about. And now you're part of it. This let me say it again. Recite it. I will succeed by attracting to myself the forces I wish to use and the cooperation of other people. That's what this is. And so there are going to be people that will hear this show. Now, can you tell the listening audience, how long did you listen to this show before we connected?
Over the show, oh gosh, years. I mean, I knew about the show when I was living in Miami. I moved out of Miami in 2005. So I've known about the show for a very long time and listened to the show.
What year is it?
On
what
and
year
off.
Is it now?
Very,
Eight,
never,
2008.
It's 2018. And I never, ever anticipated I would be hosting a show. That was not even part of the plan when you decided you wanted to do a podcast.
But listen to what we're saying. How many people that would be drawn to each of us because we're clear about our own intention? See, you're getting clearer and clearer, but I was very clear. That's powerful.
Mm-hmm. Very powerful.
So
you know,
yeah, and we got two other guests on the show, so...
I was just going to say, and someone else who, actually both ladies, both Robin Donaldson, the owner of Renew Construction Services, and Angelique Frost, the owner of Ramar J, are also very, very clear and very much on fire about the power of what studying this book and living these principles has done for them. We know that you journal, Robin, but I'm wondering, Angelique, whether you can share with our listening audience, what are some of the other that you use that help you to constantly strengthen your faith and your confidence and your ability to do that which you know you have been called to do?
Sure, no problem. I've been loving the conversation, by the way. One of the things that I've kind of been doing with primarily focusing on the chapter, I think I love all of them equally. Mastering them is another challenge. But for faith, I would say since I've been reintroduced to faith at the I have removed words from my vocabulary, Thomasina, and I'll only state them because we're on the call, but if I have to use them, I'll write them down. I will not say them. A few of those words are impossible, can't, don't, why, I couldn't, because, all of those I kind of, and to make sure it's like psychological, I was at a thrift store and I just bought a dictionary and I cut those words out just in my mind to convince my mind that they no longer exist, because I'm doing like some mental work. I'm kind of like I'm rebuilding my brain. So you know how many wrinkles you have in your brain. I'm kind of streamlining or making them straight now. Like, you know, that's one of the things that I've done. And I also try to do, I have thank you days. I heard Miss Ann saying that she goes back and she thinks, I have days now that I thank God the entire day. When I wake up in the morning, before my head even lifts off of my pillow, you know, the book kind of changes your mind. But towards the end of the chapter, I know we're only on chapter 2. I think I now know what God meant when he said heaven on earth. I think heaven is in your mind. So that's why when you say you rest in, my mind rests in heavenly places, it's like it's a mind thing. You can have heaven on earth. Your thoughts turn into things. But I know I'm kind of getting ahead, but I just love, love, love this book. So that changing my vocabulary. Another thing about faith that I personally am experiencing myself is that I have the faith to build my environment that I'm in no matter what the circumstances are. So with everything going on in the world, politically, you know, racially, like poverty, you know, with faith, I can see and I can believe without seeing. So now I'm able to curve my thought, if that can make any, if that makes any sense. I hope I'm explaining it in a way that you can understand. And I'm rebuilding the environment where I am. I could pick up and it'd be easy for me to go somewhere else and start over, but then I wouldn't necessarily be solving the problem that I'm trying to solve. I need to be able to build an environment wherever I am. So I can build an environment no matter if I'm living in poverty, because the environment I build, I'm carrying with me. I can't run from myself. You know, the more and more I read, the more and more I see myself as a spirit and not a person. And I know that's going a little deep, but you got to understand, sometimes you meet people and they grace you with their spirit and you're like, oh man, I just love something about them. It's something about their spirit. So the more and more I do that, man, things gravitate towards me. And I want to say something. In my journaling, at the top of my journal in bold print, before I put the date, I always put the master, I'm the master of my fate and the captain of my soul. So I made a promise when I began journaling, which Miss Ann recommended us to do, that I won't let myself down. That this year, I'll cry tears of joy. No more crying tears of frustration or upset, because I now know that I'm in control of my thoughts. I'm in control. If I don't make it, it's something that I did, because God wants to give me, or with the laws of nature, they want to give you everything you want. It's more than enough for everybody. You know, so with journaling, I think ultimately at the end, it's going to be just like the Think and Grow Rich book. Just tools allowing you and unfolding each day of how prosperous you really can be if you just remove can't, don't, why, and try to, when you hear a no, you know, sometimes you're just talking to the wrong person. And if you hear a no, don't put a period after it. Don't put a period, just put a comma, because no doesn't necessarily mean that's where you stop. It just means there's another way. So, you know, that's also what I convinced myself. When I hear no now, Thomasina, I'm like, okay, you said no, but how can I turn this no into a yes? Like, I'm not, I understand you're telling me no, but my mind won't allow me to accept that. I don't receive that. You know, so that's what my journaling does to me. It's a really good experience, the journaling. It really is.
That is great. That's powerful. So journaling is a theme then for all three of our guests today. And I love the different ways in which you approach it. So people sometimes hear somebody has done something like journaling and think they have to do it exactly the same way that person did. No, you do what resonates for you. You do what speaks to you and to your consciousness, to your soul. But this point about increasing or constantly reinforcing positive thoughts, I love your point also, Angelique, about I love the going to the, getting a dictionary and literally cutting words like impossible and can't out of the dictionary. The things that we say to ourselves goes back to the question that Anne asked earlier about what is it that we're feeding ourselves? What are we feeding our minds, our consciousness? And getting rid of negative language is certainly one way to make sure that we're feeding ourselves only that which is positive. The point about also putting a comma after the word no, I love that as well. It makes me think about a conversation I was having with a client and some other folks on my team, and I had this idea about something. Everybody was all excited about it. We called the client, shared the idea with the client, and the client's like, no, we don't want to do that. So I said, okay. Hang up the call with the client. Then my team member calls me all in a panic. Oh, my God, Thomasina, this is such a great idea. I can't believe they don't want to do this. Well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? I said, we're going to go to Plan B. And she said, well, what's Plan B? I said, I don't know. We'll figure it out. And she just broke out laughing. Because like you, I firmly believe no just means not right now. No is the beginning of a conversation. It just is an invitation for me to get more creative, to dig deeper in terms of the faith, knowing that as the self-confidence formula tells us, that I'm going to attract the people who are going to help me get to where it is I'm trying to get to. And so because of that faith, I never get my feelings hurt when somebody tells me no. It just means I have to up my game. And as Anne was talking about all the different opportunities that come to us, you can actually think of a no as an opportunity to flex our own muscles, to be more creative, to dig a little bit deeper, and really get a better sense of the resources we do have available to us, but oftentimes just don't draw on those resources. So thank you very much for sharing that. That was really powerful, Angelique. And I know, Robin, that you journal, but are there other things that you do as well that you might like to share with our listening audience, strategies that help you stay anchored in faith, that help you to continually build your self-confidence besides the journaling?
Well, speaking of journaling, I'm journaling now. Just listening to you and Miss Anne and Angelique, just taking notes, because the things that Angelique was saying, they resonated with me. And so, therefore, I'm making notation of those things. I think other things that help, you were asking, what other things that I do to enhance the faith that I have? And, again, just building a fortress, because my house, my everything around me is positive, from the color on my walls to the pictures that I have selected in my bathroom while I'm sitting either in the tub or on the toilet. I surround myself with positive things. I even listening to... When working, I listen to violins because I know that just really creates the atmosphere or the environment in which I know I can take things to the limit. So I, again, because I know I have experienced, the devil is busy, and I was once his child, and now I'm doing things on a different note. He has an all-out attack on me. So I know that each and every day I have to build myself with that complete suit of armor, with that faith, and I do that by the things that I surround myself, the music I listen to, like Angelique. I don't even listen to TV anymore. Just surrounding myself with positive things and reinforcing that by
my goals that I read every morning, the self-confidence formula that I preach to myself, because I literally, you know, it's quite funny because Ms. Ann had made the comment yesterday that we are fighting against, you know, forces. And I'll say that I'm fighting against supernatural forces because I'm not only experiencing the lash of the devil, I'm dealing with my own demons. And the only way that I can literally get out of my bed in the morning and say that I'm going to be all I can be is because I have to, again, believe in that self-confidence formula. Number one, I have the ability to do all things. And if I'm faced with adversity, I know it's just only there to strengthen me. And one thing I would like to share is what faith did for me. I remember the second time that I read the book, and I would always say, failure is not an option. I don't have plan A, B, or C. But today, faith is necessary. Failure is necessary. I need the failure to help me critique and be a better person. Or if some plan was not fulfilled how I thought it should be, it's that faith that keeps me going to go back to the drawing board. So, again, just fortifying myself with the things I see, the music I listen to, the people I associate myself with. I just continuously just arm myself with that because I know what's to come.
Thank you for sharing that, Robin. Sure.
Another word, because I'm a fan of everyone on here. I just love you guys. I remove failure as well. I only say temporary defeat. Like failure, it doesn't. There's temporary defeat, but failure, you'll surrender to me after all of your. You'll try, but I now know what you look like. So when you come my way, I now know how to detect you. And I was going to say something to Robin. I remember I used to go places, and it seemed like everywhere I go, I'm just fighting. Not physically, but somebody feels some type of way. Sometimes before I read this book, my fights would choose me. Now that I've read the book, I choose my fight. Now I understand that every fault isn't meant to be won. Now I can look at people and say, oh, okay, this isn't worth it. Can I say this? I used to take it personal, but people are very funny creatures. After reading the book, I realized if I wasn't there, that person would just be arguing with someone else. Never was me. So it made me aware of my fights. I'm like, hold on, wait a second. I'm around here like almost condemning myself, trying to change the way. And, you know, we all know those people that I just think they go to sleep late and just want to think about something mad to wake up for. It's like, you know, so I'm like, I was very soft and gentle. But now after I read the book, I not only have my power and know who I am, I take authority over it. Like, it's okay. You know, I'm not taking it personal anymore. But, you know, all battles aren't meant to be won. You know what I'm saying? So it was inspiring to hear you say that because the book has allowed me to take myself out of the equation or out of the situation and look down on it. Sometimes when you're in it, you can't see it. But now it's like, man, what was I arguing? Like, really? We're going to argue about coffee today, sugar tomorrow. Like, what is the real issue here? So thank you.
Girl,
thank you so
you
much for sharing.
There is sugar tomorrow. Oh, my.
Say that again, Robin. It's what? Sugar tomorrow. I haven't heard that before.
Go ahead.
I was telling Robin that some people that like to argue, you know, it's like it's coffee today, it'll be sugar tomorrow. In other words, there's no diffusing. Now, if you bring more coffee, then it's going to be like, okay, well, why you brought sugar? Then why white and not brown? It's like, okay, are you kidding me? You know, so that's what I say. Like, it's good to look at it because the book opens your mind to, like, really fight the fights that you're supposed to be fighting. you know, saying, it's like, this isn't going to change my life. This isn't bringing my desires forth. I can't afford to let my brain be filled with this. And then it dictates your entire day because it's throwing you off. Mm-hmm. Now with Ms. Ann, mm-hmm. sometimes I remember we were at the women's conference and something transpired and she was like, release that from your brain right now. And I'm literally in my mind, to someone else, that probably would have just been like a joke. But to me, I really sat there and was like, okay, let me remove this. You know, so it makes me more conscious field of what I'm clogging up with my mind. And I know we're kind of running over, but I want to share one more experience, Thomasina, if I can. I was like working up a – thank you. I was like working up a business plan. So, you know, to me personally, $1 million is a lot. That was a lot to me. Like, I'm like, okay, so, you know, that was my phrase that I said every morning. So when I began to brew my business and started my business plan, I was like, you know what, I think I need $100,000. Man, my grandmother and everybody looked at me like, are you serious? So I built this PowerPoint. I built all of these. I went on all these websites, got all these facts. And I went to a bank, and I was, like, presenting it and through my business credit. I did all these presentations and all of this. And you know what the man had the nerve to say to me? He was like, $1,000, that's it. I'm looking at him like, what you mean? Like, I've been up for 5 days working on this presentation. And you know what it did? That whole day, I said to myself, $1,000, that's it. Like, you know, it kind of took the limitations off. Like, I just think that's a lot to me. But to them, they're like, man, that's like nothing. So what that had me do in my mind is like, now that I know that's where I stand, I held that position and I held that moment, because he didn't say, no, I'm not going to give it to you. He didn't say no. He just like, that's it. Like, you did all of this just for $1,000. I'm like, you know what? So it had me like go back to myself and center myself to say, okay, well, if $1,000 isn't a lot to him, that means $1 million isn't far from $1,000. So I just said that to say that my mind is opening up. Before $1 million, I wouldn't even begin to know, because I didn't have a definite plan. I wouldn't know where to start or how to go to. So my mind is opening up. Like, $1 million, that ain't nothing. You know, so I just wanted to share that to say that the book takes you to another level of growth. And what I love about the book is I don't think there's an age limit if you're ready to receive it. I don't care if you're 15, if you're 40, if you're 50, if you're 60. If you're ready to receive it, it's there. So thank you for sharing, Thomasina.
Oh, thank you for sharing that powerful story. I think your story about the going to get the $1,000 really also speaks to another part of the self-confidence formula that Anne was talking about earlier, about how you will succeed by attracting to yourself the forces that you wish to use and the cooperation of other people. Because you could have gotten a loan officer. You could have gotten someone who said $1,000, okay, and just gave you $1,000. And not ask that question that prompted you to think, wow, maybe I'm thinking too small here. Maybe I need to expand my horizons. So little things like that are the kind of things that come to mind for me when I journal, and Anne talked about opportunities. I would see that as a definite turning point, even though it was ever so slight, and to that gentleman probably didn't mean a thing. He might not even remember having said that to you. But the power of just a comment as innocuous as that can really make a difference in shifting our consciousness. And that shifting consciousness is why when we read the book over and over again, we see something different, because we have become different. We have had a caller holding on the line. I'm going to open her mic and hope that she's still there. Nefreda Thomas, are you still with us?
Hi, Thomasina. Yes, I am. How is everybody?
We're doing wonderful. Thank
Good.
You so much. You've been holding for a while, so we appreciate your patience.
Well, trust me, honey, the hold has been a blessing to me. It has not been a problem for me at all. like our evangelist Angelique has been telling us, it is all based on how you perceive it. So it has been a blessing to be on the call with you guys this long and listening, and I have just gotten excited just sitting here listening to you guys, because I'm sitting here doing homework, and I even had to look at my homework differently after listening to Angelique. I had to change the way I'm viewing my homework, so now I've actually finished 2 pages from 0 pages. So thank you, Angelique, for the inspiration. And I just wanted to say that you guys have, the view has nothing on you guys. You guys are the real view. So that's what you all should call yourselves, the real view. Because you guys are awesome. And I really wanted to make a comment on what Angelique was saying earlier about her faith as it relates to being prepared to do the next thing based on what she believes the next thing is for her to do. And I really enjoyed how she correlated the book with what she's going through right this very moment. And you can tell somebody who's probably read the book about 5 or 6 times because how she is so familiar with the pages, with the lessons that are on each page, and how she's pulled something from everything. And Thomasina, you just are on fire. And then Robin is excited about what's going on. And all of that is coming through on this call and on this show. And I just want to thank you guys for not being selfish and being willing to share that with everybody and share it with the world, because that is where you really get your blessings from, being able to share and help somebody else get to where you are. So I want to thank all of you for allowing me to listen in and hear all of the wonderful stories and how your lives are changing and helping me to realize that mine can do the same. And through the Think and Grow Rich process. And sometimes, just like Ann said earlier, you read things, you talk about things, but are you really applying what you're gaining? Because you have a lot of people. I learned something. One of my favorite movies is The Godfather and The Godfather 3. He's having a challenge trying to understand why there's a man that can transfer himself between both worlds. How can he be in the church and say he loved God, and then at the same time he's able to translate into my world where I kill people and do whatever? And the pastor of the church that was talking to him in that garden said to him, put your hand into that pond and pull this rock out and crack that rock open. And when he cracked that rock open, he said, you know, this rock has been sitting in this water for about 25 to 30 years, probably in that same spot. And if you look at the center, it is still very dry. Why? Because the water still has not penetrated. Same thing with people. You can sit amongst something, sit under it, but nothing penetrates. You're just sitting there. You're not pulling in anything, you're not desiring anything, and nothing goes from where it is to where you want it to go because you make no moves at all. And what I've heard each and every last one of you say tonight is I made a move, I stepped out on faith, and I did something, and now something's doing me. And so I just want to thank you guys for allowing me to get excited and see how things can change for anybody if you choose to want to change. So thank you for allowing me to share, and I appreciate all of your stories. Please continue. Have a wonderful, wonderful night, and thank you guys so much for allowing me to participate.
Well, thank you, Nefreda, for calling in and for sharing that. What we talked about tonight actually had an impact on something that you are doing right then and there in terms of looking differently at your homework. It is definitely all about consciousness. And it's not that the things that we look at change. It's the way that we look at those things that changes them. So thank you as well. We're going to take a quick commercial break now, and we'll be right back discussing Chapter 2 of Think and Grow Rich on the subject of faith.
For more information about the International Mastermind Association, visit internationalmasterminders.com or on Facebook, visit the group International Mastermind Association. The name of the book is Think and Grow Rich, The Original Version, Restored and Revised by Napoleon Hill. ISBN 1-593-30-2002. That ISBN number again, 1-593-30-2002.
Okay.
You are listening to the Think and Grow Rich radio blog talk show by the International Association, the International Mastermind Association. My name is Thomasina Williams. I've been pleased to be your host for this show. We've had as our guest Angelique Frost, who is the owner of Remarje, a company that does custom-made handmade jewelry, Renew Construction Services, which is owned by Robin Donaldson, and our master builder, Ann McNeil, who is the founder of the International Mastermind Association and also the founder and president of MCO Construction and Constructively Speaking. Thank you so much, ladies, for sharing with our listening audience tonight. We are about to wind down, and I'm going to ask if we can maybe go around and each of you sort of share a parting thought, a parting words of inspiration or wisdom with our listening audience until they join us again at 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. Angelique, you have been dubbed by our guest caller, Nefreda, as Evangelist Angelique. So, Evangelist Angelique, would you like to start us off with closing remarks?
Sure, absolutely. I would just encourage and urge everyone to take a hold of this thought that comes directly out of the book, that you are the master of your fate and the captain of your soul.
Wow, that's a great, great way to end it. It's all about us being in control of our own destiny and designing our lives with intention rather than allowing things to happen to us by default. Robin Donaldson, any parting words of wisdom for our listening audience?
In closing, that no individual may have great power without availing himself to the mastermind. That would be my closing remark.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And Anne, our master builder, I know you have some nuggets for us.
You know what? Actually, the only thing I really want to say in closing is a few words, and those words are these: think and grow rich in every area of your life, spiritually, financially, family-wise, health-wise, educationally, professionally, personal development, business-wise, recreational, civically, and creativity. Thank you.
Thank you. And thank those of us who have joined us for today's show on faith. We are marching through Napoleon Hill's classic book, Think and Grow Rich. For the last two shows, we've been discussing the subject of faith, which is the subject of chapter 2 of the book. And so I think it's fitting that we close this show as we did the last show with a quote from Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, which says that if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, and if you know anything about mustard seeds, they are the tiniest of seeds. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing, nothing will be impossible to you. That is the power of thinking and growing rich. Thank you very much. We look forward to hearing from you on our next broadcast. Good night.